Hello, I'm Georgina Marshall, Global Head of Research at ISS, and welcome to the latest instalment of our 2021 Bulletin podcast series. In this June 21 edition, we'll highlight review highlights of the recently concluded Latin America proxy season with two senior members of our Latin America research team, Ana Luisa Farias and Diana De Leon. We're going to cover the six largest countries in the region: Mexico, Chile, Argentina, Colombia, Peru, and lastly, Brazil, which is the largest and most active market, representing more than 60% of the Latin American meetings analyzed by our team this year. So welcome, Ana Luisa and Diana. I'm glad you can join us now that the Latin American proxy season is behind us. Can you both give us an overview of the 2021 season in terms of the big picture first and meeting stats compared to last year?
Thanks, Georgina. This was the second proxy season taking place in the shadow of the COVID-19 pandemic. But unlike last year, there were no postponements or cancellations of shareholder meetings in the Latin American region. Actually, meeting distribution resumed its historic pattern of high concentration running between mid-February to mid-April, with a steep concentration of AGMs in April, especially for Brazil. Close to 60% of all Brazilian meetings covered in 2021 took place in the last 4 business days of April, ending on April 30th. In fact, these numbers represent a proxy season that was slightly more concentrated than previous pre-pandemic proxy seasons.
So in terms of overall numbers, our research team covered over 870 company meetings between January 1st and April 30th, 2021. This represents a 23% increase in volume compared to the 700 or so reports delivered during the same period in 2020. As our listeners may recall, in 2020, Latin American season was heavily impacted by meeting postponements, which was announced following the spread of the COVID-19 pandemic. But when comparing 2021 to 2019, a period before the pandemic, we still saw more meetings in the 2021 season with a 7.4% uptick relative to 2019.
The 2021 proxy season was an especially intense season for the Brazilian market. If we break it down by country, the number of Brazilian meetings delivered between January and April 2021 jumped to a total of 534 compared to 386 meetings during the same period in 2020, a 38% jump when compared to last year. In 2019, we delivered 456 reports on Brazilian meetings between January and April. So the 2021 proxy season had 17% more meetings compared to our pre-pandemic coverage.
Meanwhile, Mexico, the second largest market in the region, also had an increase in the number of meetings covered in 2021, reaching 170 meetings delivered by April 30, 2021, an increase of 22% in 2020. 2021 also represents an increase of about 6% compared to pre-pandemic 2019, mostly reflecting the change in our clients' holdings during the period. All other markets covered in the region, Argentina, Colombia, Chile, and Peru, were largely unchanged in terms of overall number of meetings.
Thanks, Diana and Ana Luisa. And by the way, for our listeners, that was Diana you heard last and Ana Luisa before that. So a very busy 2021 Latin America proxy season indeed. Is there a particular reason for the huge growth in the number of Brazilian meetings covered this year?
The 38% year-over-year increase in Brazilian meetings in the 2021 proxy season was due not only to the return of a more normal season calendar of general meetings, but also due to a very active proxy season with a high number of special meetings. Something else that significantly impacted this season was the addition of 40 newly listed companies following Brazil's IPO boom in the last year. 37 of the new companies had their IPOs in 2020 or early 2021, and the remaining three are the result of recent reorganizations of Brazilian companies.
Thanks, Ana Luisa. And Diana, earlier you mentioned the ongoing pandemic, which we know has hit Latin America particularly hard, and especially Brazil. Did the changes adopted last year regarding virtual-only meetings carry through to this year as well?
Yes, virtual meetings are now part of the governance landscape in the Latin American region and were the norm for shareholder meetings this year, as most Latin American countries are still facing high numbers of COVID-19 cases. There was one big exception, though, which is Mexico, the second largest market in the region, has still not adopted virtual-only meetings as a regular practice. Since 2020, when the pandemic first hit, this has been the market with the lowest adoption of such meeting type, and the same practice was repeated in 2021, with almost all Mexican companies covered by ISS holding their annual shareholder meetings in person. According to ISS data, only 6 Mexican companies covered held virtual-only meetings so far in 2021. In Brazil, close to 300 companies held virtual-only meetings. The adoption of such meeting format was the norm in Chile, Colombia, and Peru as well.
And Ana Luisa, did we observe any challenges with the implementation of virtual meetings in this region?
So far, we are unaware of major issues or controversies related solely to the adoption of virtual-only meetings. We did have, however, a few Brazilian companies that held hybrid meetings but didn't allow shareholders to fully participate virtually. In these very few cases, the system adopted by the companies only allowed shareholders participating virtually to watch the meeting remotely without being able to interact with AGM participants or vote at the meeting. But these appear to have been rare exceptions rather than the norm for virtual meetings in the country.
Thanks. And let's change direction now to look at the regulatory landscape. Were there any major regulatory changes that impacted this year?
Brazil was a market that saw regulatory changes related to the disclosure of its say-on-pay proposals right at the cusp of peak 2021 proxy season. The Brazilian securities regulator, CVM, publishes on an annual basis its general guidance to the market, known as the Ofício Circular. The 268-page document was published by the regulator on February 26, 2021, when proxy season was already underway. Among the changes for the 2021 proxy season was the regulator's decision that companies no longer need to include social security taxes in proposed global compensation caps presented annually at Brazilian shareholder meetings as binding say-on-pay resolutions. The new guidance created some inconsistencies in disclosure, and we saw companies that still propose their global compensation cap, including social security taxes, while others completely removed this component from their proposed caps, and yet others disclosed two figures, with and without the social security taxes. This represented a consistency challenge during the 2021 proxy season.
Sure. And were there other noteworthy developments this season? Let me pose this question to you both, starting perhaps with you, Diana.
Sure, thanks. We had quite an eventful proxy season in Brazil, but a pretty quiet one in the rest of the Latin American region. While Argentina, Chile, Colombia, Peru, and Mexico were largely uneventful, Brazil had one of its most contentious proxy seasons, with a number of companies carrying out their elections under cumulative voting, which has been traditionally the exception in the market, and a greater number of contested director elections in 2021, in which we saw more dissident nominees and a greater number of board candidates than board seats.
And Ana Luisa, you spent the season focused largely on the Brazilian market in particular. Could you further unpack the developments there for us?
Sure. So signs of a heated proxy season were visible in the Brazilian market even early on in the year. It started with the federal government's direct interference in the administration of some of the largest state-controlled Brazilian companies traded at the São Paulo Stock Exchange. More specifically, the governmental interference in the administration of the oil giant Petrobras and of the large bank Banco do Brasil. Both companies had material changes in their administration initiated or triggered by Brazilian President Jair Bolsonaro, who replaced Petrobras CEO Roberto Castelo Branco with a military appointee due to disagreements regarding Petrobras oil price policy. In 2021, the market also saw the resignation of Banco do Brasil CEO André Brandão after he was heavily criticized by Bolsonaro following the announcement of plans to close branches and over an employee buyout program, which upset the Brazilian president. The direct government intervention in the administration of publicly traded state-controlled companies threatened to undo the recent progress in the market to shield the governance of such companies from government influence, following the uncovering of a massive corruption scheme revealed under the Operation Car Wash, which had Petrobras at its center. One of the advancements in the market had been, for example, the enactment of the 2016 Responsibility Law of State-Controlled Companies, which established specific parameters and requirements in an attempt to shield the nomination of administrators of such companies from political influence.
Indeed, very interesting. And I know the board election at Petrobras ended up being especially contentious. How did that election process unfold?
Yeah, right. It was no surprise given that the general meetings for Petrobras and Banco do Brasil both had dissident and competing board nominees, indicating contentious elections. In the case of Petrobras, the board election took place through cumulative voting for the second consecutive time, but the issue does not appear to have been resolved for Petrobras yet, as the minority shareholder board representative, Marcelo Gasparino, resigned soon after his election with a publicly disclosed intention to trigger a new board election. According to the letter published by the minority shareholder representative, he considered that the votes sent by minority shareholders on the dissident minority nominees were not correctly accounted for by the company, which led to the election of only one minority representative to the board. According to the Brazilian corporate law, every time a director elected under cumulative voting resigns, a new board election for all seats elected through that system must be called. But Petrobras has not yet announced the date of the general meeting to carry out a new board election.
It sounds like Brazil indeed had a very active season and probably more to come in future by the sounds of it. And finally, back to you, Diana. Were there any other noteworthy cases?
Yes, the most high-profile meeting for the season was perhaps the annual meeting of the Brazilian iron ore company Vale S.A. The 2021 AGM was already considered high-profile as it would be the first time Vale would carry out a full board election as a dispersed capital company following the end of its shareholder agreement in November 2020. We should remember that Vale was a state-controlled company seven. And after its privatization, the company remained highly controlled by a group of private and state-related shareholders. So the recent end of the shareholder agreement represents the conclusion of a long cycle for Vale. But the AGM ended up being much more contentious than expected, with a proxy contest in which dissident shareholders sought to occupy four of the 12 board seats for election. The full board has 13 directors, but one seat is reserved to the company's employer representative. It is to be remembered that back in July 2020, Vale had proactively announced the creation of a nomination committee to prepare the list of board nominees for Vale's first full board election as a dispersed capital company at its 2021 AGM.
And that move by the company was not enough to mitigate investor concerns?
Well, the tension between management and shareholder escalated after Vale proposed several amendments to its bylaws in a special meeting held in March this year prior to its AGM. At that meeting, the company proposed to amend its bylaws to include largely positive changes to its board election process, among them the mandatory provision of a majority independent board and individual director elections, a departure from the Brazilian market practice of slate elections. However, in the midst of the positive article amendments, the company also presented a proposal to adopt a majority voting standard for its board elections and to consider the number of negative votes received by director to determine the election outcome and the final board composition. No carve-out for contested election was included in the proposed amendment. So the proposal was unprecedented in the Brazilian market and ended up being rejected by the local securities regulator. Nonetheless, even before the disclosure of the regulator's opinion on Vale's proposal regarding the consideration of negative votes on the election of directors, the company had already removed such proposal from the special meeting agenda. The change reflected the negative reaction of shareholders who heavily criticized the company's decision to propose the adoption of this provision right before it held its first board election as a dispersed capital company. But the damage appeared to have been done, and dissenting shareholders presented four competing nominees at the Vale's AGM, competing for not only board seats, but also for the election of the chair and vice chair of the board. Ultimately, the dissenting shareholders were successful in electing all four dissenting board candidates and materially changing the board composition initially proposed by the company's management. But the chair and vice chair position, however, remained with the management nominees.
Very interesting indeed. And thank you, Ana Luisa and Diana. And that ends our Latin America 2021 season review podcast. Thanks very much to our speakers, and many thanks to you, our listeners, for tuning in. We hope that you found this podcast useful and informative. Please watch your emails over the course of the coming weeks for information on and links to other episodes of this season's podcast series. From all of us at ISS, thanks again for listening in, and goodbye for now.